Let's stand together and let's sing. Here we go.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Sit in.
We do want to welcome you to our service this morning. And the reason that we led off the service with that song, Jesus Loves Me, is because, one, we are thankful that Jesus loves us and gave his life for us. And he showed us how much he loves us when he went to the cross and took our place. But also, today is a special day for a couple of other reasons. We are having a parent and child dedication this morning, and I think it's appropriate that on Father's Day that we dedicate some children to the Lord, since we couldn't do it on Mother's Day. And also today is another special day, as it is Father's Day. And so just let your father know how much you love him and appreciate him. Thank God for him. And if your father is no longer with us and has passed away like mine has, reflect on the father that God gave you. Reflect on the memories you have with your dad. And thank God for him as well in placing him in your life. But remember that we have the greatest father of all in God, as he is our good, good father. So welcome to our services this morning, as we're going to have a special service. And we do want to thank you for faithfully continuing to give during this difficult time. And just a reminder, we are not taking up the offering during our time of worship, but there is the little red house box in the foyer that you can put your offering in, or you can mail it to the church office. Today does end our Baby of Bottles Blessings campaign for the Pregnancy Help Center. So if you'd like to give to that today, you can give online or you can give by check. If you give, just make sure you designate how much you're giving to the Pregnancy Help Center. And on Mother's Day, we did share an offering of $200 with Sunrise Children's Services. And today, we're giving an offering for $200 on behalf of our fathers to the Oneida Baptist Institute. Vacation Bible School will be July 20th through the 24th in at least 8 neighborhoods throughout Madison County. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. for grades kindergarten through 5. And there are still some openings, so if you'd like to help with that neighborhood Vacation Bible School, you can see Linda and she'd be glad to plug you in. The youth are going to meet on Wednesday nights at 6:30 in the back parking lot of the church. And today is the last day to register for our Crossroads Hometown Camp with First Baptist Richmond. The cost is $25. It's a pre-registration event only. And parents, you can register your students and pay online as well. The church van ministry will start back on June the 28th. Jared Hustler will be contacting regular riders, and new riders should call the church office, and so we can put you in contact with Mr. Hustler. And the Lord's Supper, we're going to take the Lord's Supper next Sunday during the morning worship service, so that will be a special time as well.
Can y'all hear me? Do I have it on, Darren? All right. Next week for the Lord's Supper, we had to wait a long time to be able to get the Lord's Supper cups that have the little peel back plastic cover, then the bread, then another peel back cover for the drink. So ladies, just be careful. I don't know which one of our ladies tested one in the office when they came in. We were all excited to have them. She had a white blouse on. Well, let's just say it got some grape juice on it, kind of. So don't squeeze it when you open it, okay? But we'll look forward to taking the Lord's Supper next week. Hey, I'm glad you're here. This is an amazing day for dedicating babies to the Lord. And as Baptists, we believe that every person born is in the image of God and that they need to come to a place where they realize that they need a Savior. And so we don't believe in baptizing babies because we believe that an individual has to be old enough and have their conscience to the place where they know the difference between right and wrong, and that they can confess their own sins. And so that's why we don't believe in paedobaptism or baptizing infants. So instead, what we believe in is dedicating babies to the Lord. You say, well, where is that found in scriptures? Well, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Whenever Hannah was unable to bear children, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and then God opened her womb, and she said this, if you will give me a child, I will dedicate that child upon his weaning back to the Lord for the Lord's service. That's where we get the practice of dedicating babies to the Lord. And we are privileged today to have the Furphy family dedicating a beautiful little girl. Rosalie is going to be dedicated. And then we have the Elkins family, and they're going to dedicate several. So do we have a video queued up? And we're going to see the babies that we're dedicating and the life verses that the parents have chosen for their baby.
Hello, Red House Baptist Church. My name is Ed Furphy. This is my wife, Jordan, and our daughter, Rosalie. Rosalie just celebrated her one-year birthday on June 14th, and this Sunday she is getting dedicated. Jordan and I have chosen her life verse to be Proverbs 3:15. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Jordan and I have chosen this verse for her so that at all times she knows her value not only to God but to us as her parents.
Hello, we're the Elkins family. My name's Thomas, and this is my wife, Mandy, and these are our four youngest children, Davin, Grayson, Asher, and Wesley.
The life verses that we have chosen for Davin is Ephesians 6:13. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day and having prepared everything to take your stand.
For Grayson, we have chosen Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
For Asher, we have chosen Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
For Wesley, we have chosen Luke 2:40. The boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him.
Let's have these parents and children come up here. We decided it would probably be better for everybody, especially the parents, for the babies to be seen on the screen instead of trying to be held up here during all that. So we appreciate you folks for doing that. And we come on up. Now, in our baby dedication, we give a charge to the parents. And Mandy and Thomas, God bless you all. When did these four boys become officially yours? This past December, and they adopted these all siblings, correct? Yes. So you wanted to keep the sibling group together, and what a blessing. And when did this precious little girl come into this world?
June 14th.
June 14th of last year. That is wonderful. Well, this is what I want to do. I want to lead you as parents in a vow, and at the end of it, just say, we do, okay? So do you, the Elkins and the Furfies, do you promise in the presence of God, your friends, your family, and this church body to do your best to instill in your child the values and the teachings that will lead your children to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you promise to pray daily for your child, to entrust your child to God's care, to offer your children to the Lord for his service and ministry, and to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Church family, you answer we do in the affirmative as well. Do you as a church, as friends and members of this faith family at Red House Baptist, do you promise to commit your time, resources, and prayers and your talents in service and ministry to help these families raise their children in such a way that they will come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? As a church family, do you promise that you will be here, that you will be faithful, that you will give, and that you will bless these children and give them a future and a hope in the Lord? Amen. Well, I want to pray for you and bless you in the Lord. Just join me, church family, as we pray. Lord, I just want to pray for Rosalie. God, her parents have chosen Proverbs 3:15, and I pray that Rosalie will know that she's precious, far more precious than any jewels. And God, I pray your hand would be upon her, and that God, your appointed time, you would draw her to yourself that she might experience forgiveness and grace and be saved. Lord, for Davin, I pray, God, that you would help him to take up the full armor of God, that, Lord, he would be able to resist evil in its day, and that, God, one day he will trust you as his Lord and Savior and take his stand. Lord, for Grayson, I pray, Lord, that he would let his light shine before men, that they would see your good works through his life, and that his life would be lived to give glory to the Father in heaven. And I pray, God, you'd save Grayson at the appropriate hour. Lord, for Asher, I pray, God, that he would be strong and of good courage, that he wouldn't be afraid, and that, God, he would know that you are with him wherever he goes. And, Lord, I pray he would come to know you at an early age. And, Lord, for Wesley, God, I pray that he would grow strong in spirit, be filled with wisdom and grace. And I pray, too, Lord, that you would put your hand upon him and call him to know you, love you, and serve you at the appropriate hour. So, Lord, we dedicate these children and these families to you. Thank you for the blessing of children. God, provide for these parents the strength, the wisdom, and the resources they're going to need. And I pray they'd always be active and involved in a church that will teach their children the ways of the Lord. Thank you for these parents that are willing to dedicate their children to you. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. We're proud of you. God bless you. Love you. Oh, did you get a picture?
That was awesome. Let's stand together and let's continue to worship and praise God.
Lift your voice and worship together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into the sea. And nothing can keep us apart.
So remember, so remember
your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the form of your salvation.
Amen. Give God a hand of praise. Amen. So it's always a great blessing for us as a church to come and worship and praise God together for many reasons. The best reasons I will give you, the closest one is just remember a couple of months ago, you are not about to go anywhere. That's a blessing. We're about to come here and freely, openly worship and praise God. That's another reason. Because elsewhere, other sides of the world, people don't have that freedom to come together openly to worship and praise God. So when times like a couple of months ago, COVID-19 or whatever happened, we need to draw our attention to know that God is still good. God is not good because God is still good. So don't try to put any reasons of why God is good. So don't try to justify God's goodness by anything. God is good. So when things get tough, we need to remember God is still good. The next song, use that as your prayer to God. Maybe you like me, I doubt it sometime. Merely when things don't go the way I want it to go, I'm like, God, where are you? This song is a prayer to remind us, God's still here. God has never left us, nor forsake us. We need to remember that all the time. Let's worship and praise him together. Let's leave your voice in shame.
We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise. Our great is our faithfulness. You're our creator.
Raise your voice in that one as your prayer to God. Tell him you still remember.
I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You say you love me.
We will remember.
And this time, the song we're going to sing next is you saying to God how you need him. As today is a special day for many of you, as a dad, we see God as a good dad, a good father. Now, when we look around us, we see there's a problem. When we tell people, God is my father, sometimes we're like, I don't need that because my father is not the best. Like, you see how that can affect somebody when you said God is our father? This song, he's portrayed how God is a good father, how we taking care of us, how we always need him. Anytime, any circumstances. As a kid needs the mom and dad, this is how we need God all the time. To help us with sin, to help us with anxiety, to help us with stress, to help us with, you fill the blank. Raise your voice in prayer through that song. Tell God how much you need him today. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Oh Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God.
Sin runs deep.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Your grace is found, is where you
are. Lift it up where you are. And when you are,
Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Lift it up.
In Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Oh God, how I need you.
God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for what you've done. But better yet, we praise you for being the God who always been there for us. How challenging this would be if you just created us and you left us alone somewhere for us to take care of our own. But yet, you're the provider, you're the counselor, you're the comforter that we need each and every day. You said even when we were in our mother's womb, you knew us. Meaning every day in our lives, he's just written in your hand. So you watching the whole thing. So you know about everything. And sometimes we get that twisted, like we're thinking, where is God? And the truth is, you're always there. We can only imagine how wonderful it would be to see you always. God, receive that as our plea today. Help us see you always. Help us see you in the good times, and help us see you in the bad times. Help us see you when things are good, but yet help us see you when things are tough. Because with you, we'll never fail. With you, we anchor them. I pray that you help us to learn from our mistakes, from our everyday life challenges, to just trust you 100%. Because that's what you required from us. You call us to be obedient, trust, and obey. I pray, help us do just that as a body believer. We know that sometimes it's hard because around us, we can't even see the light because of sickness, because of whatever it might be. But you are the answer for everything, God. In everything, I pray that you help us see you, because when you see you, we will be encouraged. We will be strong. We will be comforted, knowing that our hope is not on this world, but in you, Jesus Christ. As your servant, going to bring your word to your church today, help us to learn and grow from your wisdom that comes from you. You know just what we need, and I pray that you do just that. So we can take your wisdom from here to out of the community. Wherever we go, we can take you with us. So when they see us, they see you. So we can be that light you call us to be in the world that so needed you. Help us to be better Christians. Help us to be better followers of yours. I ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Well, it's a joy to gather back together. I was just handed a note that says to remember Jennifer Isaacs and her family in the passing of her uncle Bobby Stansberry. So we want to remember that family. They've lost a father and possibly a grandfather, so we want to remember them on this day. Well, today is Father's Day. I hope that y'all remember that. My sister, I mean, here we meet as a staff on Mondays, and we discuss all we're going to do, for the upcoming week. And we discuss the layout of the service. We discuss what we need to focus on. We discuss this is an important day for the baby dedications. By the way, thank you, grandparents, and thank you, folks who came. And Elkins, thank you for making the video, and you did a good job. That was wonderful. And this is an important day. And so I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you check the box, and then after you check the box, you think it's done. Well, my sister calls me on Wednesday from Phoenix. She says, don't forget that this Sunday's Father's Day. Go get Dad something and put my name on it too, and I'll pay you back. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Father's Day was last week, because we'd already discussed it. So no, it is this week. So I went and I did something. I thought, what am I going to get Dad? And so thought about it. And so I decided, and she made the recommendation. And I thought, well, you know what? I hate to admit she's right, but she probably is right. Instead of getting him a shirt or a tie or something like that, I'm going to go get him some steaks and take him over to him. So I went and got him a couple of T-bones and four New York strips, and took that over to him and some steak seasoning, and said, Happy Father's Day. And I was like, you know what? That's better than a tie. Amen. And so something he can enjoy. And so sitting there talking to him, you know, just thinking about it, he has shared with me some memories when I was little. Because I was telling about how Levi, our grandson's, what, 20 months old now? 19, 20 months old. And he's discovered, he went from helping me wash the truck to wanting to get into the truck. And I've made the mistake of letting him, you know, while I'm rinsing it off and washing it, he's in the truck. When I get in the truck, you know, and the heat's on set on 80. The windshield wipers are on. Everything's on. And so after doing this once or twice, I'm like, okay, I need to get him out of the truck. The stinker has learned how to get away from me, get to the other side, and open the car door. So I have to run. And I was like, I was telling Mom and Dad that. And Dad said, you think that's bad? He said, when you were about 2.5 years old, I was in my 66 Mustang going downtown Dayton, Ohio, in the middle of lunch hour traffic. And I'm taking a corner to turn left. And he said, and out you go because you open the handle of the car door and you're rolling out in the middle of that busy intersection. And I said, what'd you do? He goes, I slammed on the brakes, put it in park, and ran around and got you. This was before seatbelts and chairs. And who knew that baby seats could go out of date? I didn't know that. But anyway, so he said, from the time you were 2.5, he said, we couldn't wait till you were potty trained. And then every time we went out, you couldn't pass a gas station or a store without saying potty. So it gives me a little more empathy for, what my dad went through that I never knew. So all you dads out there, I just want to say thank you and congratulations. I hope you're blessed today. I want to say thank you to the dads. Darren's walking out back there helping our sound get going. Other dads who've been helping today. Getting the AC going. I didn't know when you have a thunderstorm that it can blow breakers and you have to reset the entire AC. I didn't know that. So thank you, Kim, and those who got this going. So I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for dads today. Amen. I hope you are too. Well, I've been preaching through a series on Joseph, and we want to continue that today. We're going to look at the next segment in the saga of Joseph. I entitled the series, Joseph, a Hero That's Forged by God. Because I really want you to understand something. All the things that happen to you in your life that you think are bad are actually good. It's the way God forges you. It's the way God chisels character in you. It's the way God shapes you into be the best version of yourself, a Christ-like version that he wants. So Joseph really is a hero forged by God. And today we're going to look at Joseph. Last week we left off where he's falsely accused of sexual harassment, of raping Potiphar's wife. When he didn't, he fled instead. And instead of claiming misery in prison, he started a ministry in prison. And I just want you to think about that. No matter how horrible your circumstance, you can focus on your misery or you can focus on your ministry. That's worth writing down. You can be miserable or you can do ministry, no matter how bad your situation. So with that being said, I just want to introduce you to Joseph again. He's probably one of the best examples that we have during the Old Testament of somebody who's been repeatedly mistreated, somebody who had his own family turn against him, somebody who was scorned and rejected by his brothers because he sincerely sought the Lord, who had a doting father and also one who was accused of things. And then his brothers conspired to kill him when he was obedient to his father and then sold him into slavery to their cousins, the Ishmaelites. We don't understand what he went through, but what he went through was awful. He was seized by his brothers, and he was beaten. He was thrown into a cistern, and he was sold for 20 pieces of silver. All these are parallels I shared with you last week. They really are parallels of the life of Christ. The same thing happened to Jesus. Jesus came unto the Jews, his own brethren, and they rejected him. Jesus came to his own people, and what did they do? They beat him and bruised him. Jesus came into his own, and what did they do? If you've ever been to Israel, and I hope you do, get to go one day, but if you go to Israel and you go to Caiaphas' house, you'll see that cistern underneath his house where they strung Jesus up and where he was there while they were deliberating how to destroy him up above in Caiaphas' house. And you see that he was in a cistern strung up just like Joseph. So many parallels to the type of Christ in the Old Testament person of Joseph. So Joseph knew firsthand what it was like to be mistreated. Joseph knew firsthand what it was like to have his family angry and turn against him and condemn him. Joseph knew firsthand what it was to be on the receiving end of anger and of false accusations. And if anybody had a reason, a justified reason to be miserable, to be angry, to be bitter, to be resentful, and to want revenge. If anybody had that right, it was Joseph. What we learned from the Holy Scripture is that Joseph took a higher plane, and he didn't say, "Why me?" He said, "What now?" Every situation he found himself in, he said, "Lord, what now?" And he was obedient, and he allowed God to fashion him in the midst of awful circumstances. So I want to lead you through the closing verses of chapter 39 of Genesis and chapter 40, and that we can see this next segment of Joseph's life while he's in prison. So if you'll stand for the reading of God's word, we stand to show that we're under the authority of God's word. Our opinions don't matter. What matters is the authority of God's holy, inspired word. And we have to align ourselves with God's word, not align God's word with our opinion. Amen? No. Amen? Amen. Brother Lee.
Genesis 39, 21 through 40, verse 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority. He was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. After this, the king of Egypt's cupbearer and baker offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guards in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guards assigned Joseph to them as their personal attendant, and they were in custody for some time. The king of Egypt's cupbearer and baker, who were confined in the prison, each had a dream. Both had a dream on the same night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they looked distraught. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We had dreams," they said to him, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. "In my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." "This is its interpretation," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was positive, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. 3 baskets of white bread were on my head. In the top basket were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is its interpretation," Joseph replied. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you and hang you on a tree. Then the birds will eat the flesh from your body." On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a feast for all his servants. He elevated the chief cupbearer and the chief baker among his servants. Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had explained to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. This is the word of the Lord.
And all God's people said, amen. You be seated. This is an amazing drama in Scripture. Now, I want you to understand something. Joseph had been shackled for moral purity. If you go back into chapter 39, you see something very significant. What you see is that Joseph was taken into slavery in Potiphar's house when he was probably around 17 years of age. Potiphar purchased him and paid a large sum of money to get him. And then he trained him. He taught him Egyptian. He taught him the ways in which Potiphar, he was probably one of the, in the top four of the most important people in all of Egypt. And Potiphar, who was the head of the security team for the Pharaoh, that means he was also the head executioner. Keep that in mind. And so as the head executioner and head of the security team for Pharaoh's personal secret service, he had a lot of power, had a lot of money, had a lot of resources. I showed you a picture of what some believe Potiphar's house would have looked like, a four-story huge complex. The first story alone, 80 servants would have worked. And so what we see is that as a young Hebrew slave, Joseph excelled in language because he had to learn Egyptian. He excelled in the cultural norms of the Egyptians. He excelled in business. He was a very skilled, very intelligent. But then we see something that you don't see very often in the Bible, and that is in verse 6, it says that Joseph became well-built and handsome. Something happened to that boy between the age of 17 and 24 or 5. He became well-built and handsome. And so not only did he have God's favor, he had Pharaoh's favor. Pharaoh, think about this. Pharaoh took that teenage boy, grew him, developed him, educated him, and probably by the time he's 21, he's in charge of all the other servants. Don't you think that there was some jealousy and griping going on there? Probably so. However, Joseph, he was such a skilled leader, he was able to effectively schedule everybody, run everything, that God's hand of favor was on him, and it says that Pharaoh and his personal wealth grew, and everybody loved Joseph. And then it was great until, guess what? Potiphar's wife started to notice Joseph too. And then day after day, she tempted him. Day after day. Listen, you and I, we do good. I don't know how about you, but I'm made of flesh. I'm doing good. When do y'all know that I got a weakness for double stuffed Oreos? And after a big meal or after dinner, I don't know why, I just crave a sweet little something, just a little something. And then, you know, my son reminds me that I'm getting old and a little bit bigger, and he says, Dad, you don't need that. So I'll resist temptation. Okay, I'll put them up on top of the refrigerator, but I know where they're at. And then I'll go down the stairs, and I'll be watching the news, and then I'll be watching TV show, and in the back of my mind, I think, oh, that sure would be good. And I'll fight that temptation, you know, from 6:30 to 7:30 to 8:30. And by 9 o'clock, I'm thinking, I know I'm not supposed to know. You know what? I've done so good. It's 9:30. I've done so good. I've resisted temptation for the last 3 hours. I think I'm going to reward myself with a couple of Oreos. What? You don't do the same thing? Come on now. So Joseph resisted temptation day after day. She asked him to go to bed with her, and he refused. And then one day, she made sure all the other 80 servants were out of the building. Wow, you don't think that was strategic? And then she forced him into her bed, and he refused, and she grabbed hold of his cloak, and he ran out of there in his BVDs. He left his cloak, but he kept his purity. Amen? First thing I want you to see in this morning's sermon is that Joseph was shackled for moral purity. I want you to think about something. This is an amazing thing. It says that the Lord's with Joseph, and we start in verse 21, but something hit me as I was preparing this. We know Romans 8:28. Many of us memorized that as children. You remember Romans 8:28? If you can throw that up on the screen just as a reminder, Romans 8:28. It says, we know, now believers, listen to me. This isn't hope, this is no. This is a no-so thing. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again Christian, this is your statement of faith. We know, say no. We know that all things, say all things. Now listen, you got to get this. If the devil can wear you down and wear you out, he'll make you think that God's evil, that God's the author of your trouble. And that's what the devil wants. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. So you mean to tell me that in Joseph's life in the Old Testament, that him receiving those two dreams from God, that his brothers and his father is going to bow down before him one day. You mean that was good? Yep. You mean that his brothers getting angry at him and wanting to conspire to kill him and being so jealous of his father, making a coat of many colors made from each of their mother's wedding garments into this beautiful coat. You're telling me that that jealousy and that envy and that hatred that they had toward Joseph, you mean God was going to use that for good? Yes. You mean Joseph being sold into slavery after his brothers have beat him to a pulp? You're telling me that was for good? Yep. You mean Joseph going to Potiphar's house as a slave and having to learn a different language, being around different people who talk funny, who wore their hair different, who wore makeup, and they shaved all the hair off their body because they were fearful of lice? You're telling me that he went into that environment and that was good as a slave? Yep. You mean that God elevating him to being the chief steward over everything in Potiphar's house was good? Yep. You mean him being accused of rape when he didn't was good? Yes. Now, here's my conviction, okay? My conviction is this. The dungeon and the filth that Joseph was thrown into, and we get a little bit of a snapshot of it over in Psalms 100. I shared it with you last week. I think it's Psalms 105. We get a picture of when it says that Joseph was shackled and it had a neck collar and chains around him and was thrown into a dungeon. And when we think about that, you're telling me that Joseph being falsely accused, you're telling me in I believe it's Psalm 105, verses 16 through 19. It says, he called down famine against the land and destroyed the entire food supply. He sent a man ahead of them, Joseph. He was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet. Verse 18, they hurt his feet with shackles. Now that's real pain. That's bruising. That's pain. That's blood. They hurt his feet with shackles. They put his neck into an iron collar until the time of his prediction. What was that? That was the two dreams he had when he was a teenager. Came true. And it says the word of the Lord tested him. Here's something you need to write down. God tests his children, and he always wants them to pass. Satan tempts God's children, and he always wants them to fail. Did you get that? God will test his children in order that they pass, but God will tempt you, wanting you to fail. Do you see the difference? That's why, if Alistair Begg's right, Christians have to understand that God is so concerned with our purity that he gave us instructions in the epistle of James and tells us how we're to repent of our sins, how we're to wash our hands, how we're to resist the devil, and how we are to pray and to worship. And you need to go back over to James chapter 1 to see how we handle temptation. But this world needs men of character. That's why I really believe James chapter 4, I said 1, I was wrong. It's James 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, wash your hands, purify your heart, grieve and mourn and wail over your sin. Listen, grieve, wail, and mourn over your sin, and humble yourself before the Lord, and then he will exalt you in due time. That's grace. We need people today. Dads, we need people who can't be bought, whose word is their bond, whose character is more important than wealth, who possess opinions. Listen. Who have opinions that line up with God's will. Can let me say that again. We need men who have opinions that line up with God's will. Do you know how you know what God's will is? If your opinion doesn't line up with this revealed word of God, your opinion is wicked and not righteous. Let me say that again. If your opinion does not line up with God's revealed will, your opinion is wicked and not righteous. This is our standard. Not what's going on in the culture. Not our emotions. Not anything that's been done against us. But this word. We need men who are larger than their vocations. We need men who don't hesitate to take chances. We need men who will not lose their individuality in a crowd. We need men who will be honest in the small things as well as in the great things. We need men who will not compromise with wrong. We need men whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires. We need men who will, in the midst of adversity, do what's right. We need men. Joseph was becoming a man of God. And I want you to see that God permitted what happened in Joseph's life. Look at our text again. Verse 21, chapter 39, 21, the Lord was with Joseph. Say with. Dr. Robert Coleman, man, there's three books I want to recommend to you. If any of you need to read or do, go to audiobook and download, listen to it. Three books. Dr. Robert Coleman's book on discipleship. I just went blank. Master Plan of Evangelism. Thank you. Master Plan of Evangelism, Dr. Robert Coleman. Guys, if you have never read that little 88-page book, you need to read it. I don't care how old you are. That is the best little book on discipleship out there. You also need to read the book by Gary Smalley and John Trent on the blessing. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The blessing. All you need, new dads, man, it'll rock your world if you read it. And then you need to read the book, the Hidden Value of a Man. Because we live in a culture today that runs men down more than anything. That book, The Hidden Value of a Man, God's pattern and blueprint, the privilege, it'll help you as a dad and as a husband. But why do I say all that? Because Joseph is in prison. Joseph was in misery. Joseph was shackled. Joseph probably was on a pole that would allow him to go 360 degrees around it, no more than 3 to 5 feet. Joseph, it was damp, it was dark, it was disgraceful, it was filthy, and God said to Joseph that your moral purity is more important to me than the filth of a dungeon. I want you to be morally pure more. That's more important than you wading around in human excrement. I just want you to understand, God's opinion matters more than ours. Moral purity, it means something to God. Sex outside of marriage is nothing but evil and brings nothing but trouble. Can I get an amen? So moral purity is so important there, and I just want you to see God permitted this in order that he might be prepared. And I just want you to see God position Joseph for promotion. Look at chapter 39, verses 21 and 22. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. Oh my goodness, right out to the side, the word chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D is the transliteration of the Hebrew word chesed. That word is loaded. I'm talking in a Hebrew lexicon, it takes up 4 pages of what it means. That Hebrew word for God's favor, that he positioned him for promotion, you think that he was abandoned, you think that he was alone. He had the kindness of God with him. It said he granted him favor with the prison ward. I don't know if you got that chart about him being successful while shackled. Do you have that? So not only is he positioned for promotion, go on to the next one. Joseph was successful while he was shackled. I don't know if you can see this, but I never saw this until I was reading in a commentary, and so I just put what I saw in the commentary up here. Look at the chesed towards God. Chesed literally means loved and loyal. It means loved and loyal. Because of the relationship that God had with Joseph, because of the relationship that God had with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob was Joseph's father, because of that covenant relationship, because they were born of the kingdom of Zion, and it belongs to you too. If you've been born again, you've got God's chesed. What's that mean? That means you've got his love and his loyalty towards you. You say, well, I don't deserve it. You're right. That's why it's called grace. You say, well, I let him down. That's right. That's why his favor and grace towards you is more important. You say, well, I can't earn it. That's right, because it's his covenant loyalty. What did Joseph experience? Both when he was in Potiphar's house and when he's in prison, he experienced the Lord's presence. He experienced that the Lord entrusted him with favor. Say favor. Dads, granddads, you need to pray for your kids and your grandchildren, God's favor upon them. Pray that God will bless them and love them and his covenant loyalty be upon them. And then you need to realize that he entrusted him with responsibility. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and the warden put him in charge of the entire prison. So that means the neck shackle came off. That means the ankle shackles came off. That means he got a desk, and that means that he was the one who was in charge of what? Of the guards, of the food, of the distributions, of the cell, those who've been checked into the prison, those who are getting released from the prison. Joseph was in charge. So he was delegated with all these responsibilities. The warden had nothing he worried about because Joseph's in charge, and God granted Joseph success both in Potiphar's house as a slave and in the prison. as a chief steward. I don't know about that, but when I see chesed there, it reminds me this applies to you and to me too, because all the promises to God's people in the Old Testament, we get grafted in the New Testament, and we receive all the blessings and the promises that are given to the Jews because we've been grafted into the vine. Somebody say amen. So all the promises to Abraham are ours in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said. So he was successful while he was shackled. And God's presence, his chesed, his covenant loyalty, his kindness, his favor was with him. And then he goes on to say, verse 23, that the warden didn't bother with anything under Joseph's authority. Why? Now you got to remember, this warden, just like Potiphar, was a pagan who worshipped the gods of Egypt. But what does it say in the Holy Scripture? This pagan warden did not bother with anything because the Lord was with. You're telling me that lost people can tell when you're sold out to Yahweh, the God of the universe. You mean that lost people can tell by the way you live your life, by the words you speak, by your attitude. They can tell that something's different about you, that you belong to God. You mean lost people can see that? Yes. And the Lord made everything he did successful. This is an amazing truth. So the Lord's personal presence, even though he was under false accusations, even though he'd been shackled, even though he had been on the receiving end of all kind of despicable accusations and even beatings and imprisonment, God was with him, enabling him to not only endure it, but to be made better by it. So I shared with you, chesed is so important. It's God's loyal love. Number three, he promoted him in his position. I shared Alistair Begg said, and I listened to Alistair. I love what Alistair, I love just his Scottish accent. But he said that God was far more willing to bless Joseph than Joseph was understanding of the blessings he was receiving. And this is what Alistair said to his church. You and I don't understand when God shines the sun of his providence into our lives as his servants, that we are receiving unmerited favor. God doesn't bless you more because you do more. He blesses you because you're in Christ. And when he sees you, he sees his son. This will change the way you see God. When you understand that Jesus exchanged your robe of wickedness for his robe of righteousness, and when you come to the cross, you exchange robes, and now God sees you as a child of God, born again, birthed by the Holy Spirit, and he sees the righteousness of his son, Jesus. Do you know God can't love you any less, even when you mess up? If you belong to him, he doesn't love you any less. So you need to serve him because you want to please him. Not in order to get, listen, yeah, we will get rewards. But our motivation ought to be because he loves us so much. We want to respond with the reciprocation. The word chesed carries the idea that we reciprocate the favor and the loyalty that he gives to us. We reciprocate that and we show him love and loyalty back. Somebody say amen if you get that. He wants love and loyalty back. And that's an amazing thing here. Well, time's getting away. Let's see. Do terrible things happen to God's people? Yes. Is it by design? Sometimes it is by design. I love what Elizabeth Elliot, and ladies, young ladies, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but when I was in college, all the small group leaders on my college campus, they all took the young ladies in small group ministry through Elizabeth Elliot's books. Elizabeth Elliot said when terrible things happen to you, you've got two choices. You can either trust God or you can defy God. You can either believe that God is God and he's still got the whole world in his hands and he knows exactly what he's doing, or you can believe that he's not God and that all the awful things that are happening are either because of chance or because he's not truly powerful. Suffering may be because somebody is evil. It may be at the hands of somebody who does something evil against another person. That's real. When you suffer at the hands of an abusive father or mother, and you suffer at the hands of somebody who sexually or physically abuses you or emotionally abuses you, that's awful. That's because of sin. It's because of wickedness. It's because of the human condition is bent against righteousness. Do you understand that? People are not born good. All right? You just need to chuck that sociology class that told you that they were born good. People are born sinful, rebellious, evil, wickedness is in everybody's heart, and it manifests itself. So when bad things happen, that's just nature. Darwin got that right. Okay? I mean, I'm telling you. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. You just need to read the Bible, and you need to know and learn from Joseph that even though he was conspired against, even though he was in prison, even though he was maligned, even though he was misunderstood, slandered, falsely accused, even though he was wrongfully persecuted, even though all these things happened. And by the way, compared to him, how's your week been? Here's four things you need to learn from Joseph's life. Don't be surprised when you suffer unjustly. Don't be surprised when you suffer unjustly. Secondly, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't say why me, but say what now. Don't take revenge. Listen, what concerns me a lot in our culture today is it's a revenge and a cancel culture. All right? It's a revenge and a cancel culture. That's not Christian, and that's not biblical. It's not Christian. Can I get an amen? Revenge is not Christian. God says, I'll exact revenge. You hand it over to God. You've been treated unjustly, you hand it over to God. Listen, you can try to punish somebody, but then you're going to jail. Okay? You want real justice? Pray for God to administer justice. Amen? That was weak. Am I preaching to biblical Christians or worldly Christians? I'm being honest. If you're a worldly Christian, you're going to disagree. But that means you're a worldly Christian, that you evaluate what's going on in the world based upon your opinion, and you bought into the world's lie, and you stand opposed to God's word. Are you a biblical Christian or a world Christian? I pray to God you'd understand you're going to be held accountable one day, and I pray that you understand you better be a biblical Christian. Amen? Don't throw in the towel. Don't take revenge. Romans 12:9 gives us clear instructions. It says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. I wish we could get our young people and our university people and our, I wish we'd understood, do not repay evil for evil. God does not condone a cancel culture. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. And if it's possible and it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. This is God's will for his people. How do you know this is his will? It's in his word. If it's in his word, it's his will. Amen? I hope you'll look at that verse of scripture a little more closely. Romans 12:19. Thirdly, Joseph was serving in prison. Let's be honest. Most of us, we'd be miserable. We would just be belly aching. We'd be looking at our bruises. We'd be looking at our scars. We'd be mad. We'd be demanding justice. We'd be banging our fist against the wall. We'll be putting a can or whatever up against the bars, and we'd be, what was Joseph doing? He was being the best, in Potiphar's house, he was the best slave of all the slaves. In prison, he was the best prisoner in all the prison. What? Whatever circumstance you find in, you need to be the best you can be in that circumstance? Yes, that's God's will for your life. You say, well, you don't understand how bad they're treating me. It doesn't matter. Be the best witness for God you can be. And if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. If you humble yourself, God will exalt you. So instead, as the master of the prison, him being served by the butler and the baker, he serves them. You're talking about flipping it on the head. This is so much like Jesus. So he's serving others in prison. The cellmates, they need serving. This baker and this butler, they needed serving. They were down, and they needed care. So you write this down. Prison ministry for Joseph meant that he was serving the prisoners instead of them serving him, even though he was in charge. His care for the butler and the baker in chapter 40, verses 5 through 7, is amazing because he took notice of them and he showed concern, verse 8, why are you so downcast? Why do you look so sad, boys? Well, we each had a dream. Isn't it amazing God gave them both dreams at the same time, the same place? Isn't that amazing? That's the providence of God. And then Joseph showed concern for them when they were being downcast. I don't know about you, but you know, if I was thrown into prison, even if I deserved it, I'd be downcast. I pray there'd be somebody in there to do ministry to me. You know what? I'm hoping this don't happen to you, but if you ever get thrown in prison, instead of being miserable, how about you do ministry? How can you help encourage somebody else? Wow, that's almost a Christian thought, isn't it? Be confident. He was confident to interpret. Why was Joseph confident in his ability to interpret the dreams? Because he says to them, do you not know that it is the God of heaven who reveals dreams? How does Joseph know that? Personal experience when he's a teenager, God gave him dreams and then had the interpretation for it. That's amazing. And so time's running out, but long story of it is this, the cupbearer who had to taste the drink of the, everything that went to the king Pharaoh's mouth had to pass by the cupbearer's lips first to make sure it wasn't poisoned. I don't know what this guy did to tick off the Pharaoh, but he and the baker landed in prison because they did something, and they're in prison. And so each of them had a dream, and the cupbearer, when he shared his dream with Joseph, Joseph gave him the interpretation, said 3 days on Pharaoh's birthday, he's going to have a party, and it is tradition for the Pharaoh of Egypt to release prisoners if he so chooses on his birthday. And so that was great. He told the cupbearer, you're going to get set free. You're going to go back to being what you were, the Pharaoh's cupbearer. And the baker said, well, that's good news. I'll tell you my dream. And so Joseph heard his dream, and he said, well, in 3 days, you're going to be called up by the Pharaoh too. But instead of being elevated back to your position, you're going to be elevated to a wall where they have cut off your head and strung up your body for the birds to come and pluck your flesh. You know, there's a great lesson there. Young people, listen to me. We're being told by our culture today, we're being told it's not Christian. It's not Christian to tell people what the Bible says if it's going to bring bad results or make them feel bad. Aren't you glad that Joseph was a man of character enough to not only preach the good news, but also to preach judgment and the bad news too? Judgment's coming. And if you don't have God's favor, and if you don't have his blessing, and if you haven't humbled yourself and he doesn't show you grace and mercy, you are going to suffer forever under his judgment. Listen, the only good news is that Jesus came and died in our place, and he took the suffering so we wouldn't have to. Joseph, he declared both the good news and the bad news because he was a man of character. Do we got men and women of character here today? Will you be honest with people? Or do you tell them, you just go on believing and acting in your rebellion. God doesn't care. Yes, he does care. If you really love your friends and your family, you're going to warn them. You're going to warn them. I got to wrap it up. Look at the crushing disappointment. Verse 20, look at the last verse of chapter 40. So he told the cupbearer, listen, God's going to set you free. And when you get set free, remember me. All I ask, you remember me. And then it says, verse 23, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. What a crushing disappointment. For the next 2 years, Joseph could have become more bitter and more miserable and say, after all I did for that guy, and he forgot me. Some of you feel that way toward the Lord. I just want you to know, God is good, and God knows what he's doing. And God will not forsake you. And God has not forgotten you. But when you put your trust in people, they will always let you down. Do not place your trust in people. They will always let you down. You place your faith and trust in God, and you trust his timing. But Joseph had to wait another 2 years. Yeah, but it was worth the wait. Because look what happens next week when he gets what? Recognized and lifted out of prison, becomes the grand vizier of all Egypt. Listen, I'm telling you, God doesn't operate on our timetable. You think it's not, you think your life ain't fair? What about the Jews? God put them in slavery for 400 years. Why? To give us a visual of the cross, the Passover, the sacrificed lamb, putting blood on this side of the doorpost, that side of the doorpost, this side of the door. Post, and then the death angel passes over, and all those who are under the blood get forgiven and get saved. You're telling me that God inflicted his people with slavery for 400 years to give us a visual of his grace? Yes. And that's why the cross is the only hope for humanity. And that's good news. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for the message of Joseph, and I pray it applies to our fathers here today, that God, we can see your love, that we can feel your presence, your touch, that we can hear your spoken word about a bright future, that God, we can acknowledge that you're committed to making sure that our lives succeed and that we become fashioned and formed into the likeness of Christ. Make us humble, make us servants, make us leaders, keep us positive. And when we're going through adversity, help us to realize you haven't forgotten us, you haven't forsaken us, but you got a purpose for it. Now, Lord, if someone's here today that, Lord, needs you, they've never yielded their heart and their life to you, and they've never been born again, I pray today they'd repent of their sins, they'd turn from their worldly and wicked ways and trust you as their Savior. And, Lord, if they call upon you and be saved, I pray they'd follow you in believer's baptism. So, God, do a work in our people's lives and those who are watching. Remind us of the glories that we have, being united with Christ through faith. And help us, Lord, I pray, as Christians, to be believers, not only the gospel, but of your entire word. So, God, help us as a people to be a witness for you. And all God's people said, amen. As we stand and sing, if you need to make a decision for Christ, you can meet myself or our intern over here to my left, your right, after the service. Let's sing.
that's the last part of the service. We will be singing the Lord's Prayer. Then that will be the dismissal. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To have you all have a blessed day. God bless you.